Thank you for joining me, Bertie Brits, in today's broadcast of The Love Way. We are continuing in our series on finances. In the previous session, we've been talking about how much God loves you and that He cares for you on the basis, or provides financially for you on the basis of your worth for Him. We touched on the scripture in Matthew chapter 6, and I want us to quickly read through that again, and then we're going to take it from there. It says, "No man can serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Now, out of that we have said that God cares for you so much that He said, listen, the bad thing that's produced in a man if he serves two masters is he clings to the one and despises the other one. And you cannot go with either of the two. Now, God said that cling to Him and only serve Him, and He will take care of the rest. That's what He basically says in the scripture. And false humility is when people plead poverty and say, man, you need to be poor in order to be godly. That godliness is poverty. So, now that is actually a sign of people serving mammon with the fruit of clinging to God and then despising finances. God doesn't want you to despise finances as well, because you've got need of money. Now, God says that, and He said it through Jesus Christ. These are the words of Christ Himself. And we're just going to continue with this and just pick it up from there. If you have not listened to the previous session, you can really get a hold of that by just contacting our office. The number's on the screen in office hours. And you can also, man, really send us an SMS to the number on the screen, and we can correspond with you to see that we can get this to you. It's up for donation of any amount, and if you can donate, we'll send it to you for free. We've also got a series, a 12-part series on finances out, which you can get a hold of from our office. And man, this is one of the most outstanding teachings that I've ever heard on finances. You might say, Bertie, but how can you say that? You've preached it yourself. Well, man, it's just like that. It's blessed me. God spoke this to my heart. I didn't go and dig this out from another man's teachings. God gave it to me. And it's just the freedom, the grace of God in finances. I don't care what you do. If you need a revelation on money, you need to get a hold of this. It's going to bless you. Now, let's continue. With this, we're going to pick it up in verse 28. It says, "And why do you take thought of clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall not much more clothe you, O you of little faith." Now, little faith here is connected to people that don't believe that they are worth something to God. So, don't walk in little faith. Walk in great faith. God has come to give you great faith. Great faith is measured basically on how much you believe God loves you and how much you believe you are worth for God. Your worth is not based on what you can do for God. If your worth was based on what you can do for God, all of man would be worthless. But we've got great worth to God because our worth is determined by what Jesus Christ has done for us. And we should never underestimate the worth that we have because of the price that He paid for us. Amen. Now, verse 30, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things." Now, this is a very important piece of scripture that we need to understand. He says, in the beginning, you cannot serve God and money. You will either love the one and push the other one away. But God says you've got need of finances. You've got need of a financial blessing. Because what He says here, and it is so clear, is that the things that the Gentiles seek is what God says you need. Let's read it again. It says, therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after these things, after what you will eat, what you will drink, and what in clothes, the Gentiles or the fatherless people seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Now, isn't that wonderful? God knows that you've got need of clothes. He knows that you've got need of a house. He knows that you've got need of food and all those things that the Gentiles seek. God says you need. Now, if you can realize that everything that the Gentiles seek, God says you need, and that He will provide it to you on the basis of your worth to Him, or let me put it in other words, He will provide it for you on the basis, and has provided for you on the basis of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What's so important is, and we mentioned it in the previous session, is that you must realize that you cannot separate money from the cross. You know, I've spoken to preachers that says that the cross is one message and then money is something completely different with different principles. It's not the truth. I don't believe it's the truth. I believe the principle of the cross can be applied to every area of life. It can be applied to relationships. It can be applied to healing. It can be applied to life. It can be applied to death. Death, what type of death we've died. We've died in Christ. We are raised up with Him. It can be applied to your future. The cross can be applied to your past. And the cross must and should be applied to finances. If we apply the cross, which is the message of grace, to finances, the church will get out of poverty into prosperity. Hallelujah. You know, one day I resigned from a place where I was, a church where I was, and I just said, man, I'm going to just go into the ministry and just do that which God wants me to do. And the pastor said to me, you know, Bertie, how will you ever survive? Who's going to care for you? And I said to him, God is not dead. Hallelujah. I was saved from eternal hell. I was saved from sickness. I was saved from all types of bad things that could ever come into this world. God saved me. He gave me life and life everlasting. And for sure, that same God saves me from poverty. Hallelujah. And how does God save us from poverty? It's very easy. In the same way that He saved you from sickness. How did He save you from sickness? He took all sickness upon Him, upon the cross, died with that sickness, and then was resurrected without that sickness, so that you, when He died, you died with Him, with all that sickness, and when He was resurrected, you were resurrected in Him without sickness. That's how you got rid of your sickness. That's how you got rid of being lost in the world. And that's how you got saved. And that's the way you get money. Amen. Now, hallelujah. I know this is, you might say, yes, Bertie, but what about this and what? Man, this is the way. This is the only way, by grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, let's quickly go in there. Man, now before we go there, I just want to touch on this, otherwise I'm going to forget. It says, after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. So, on the cross, God knew that you had need of healing. And He carried it upon the cross for you, the sickness He carried, so that you can be healed. And when He was hanging on the cross, He knew that you had need of money. The things which the Gentiles seek, you need. Hallelujah. Now it gives us the key on how to prosper. And we're going to connect verse 33 with 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things which the Gentiles seek shall be added to you. Take therefore no thought of the morrow, For the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, isn't that wonderful? Jesus said that first seek the kingdom of God. Now, we're talking about kingdom principles in receiving finances. Now, what is the kingdom principle in receiving finances? Number one, you are worth something to God. Number two, God loves you. Number three, God knows that you need these things and He's willing to give it to you on the basis of your worth to Him. Now, everybody's got the same worth to God. But by faith, we access this grace. Amen. And we're going to talk about that again in this session. But what he says is, no man can serve two masters, so only serve one. God will see to it that you prosper. Your prosperity is not your work. You getting money is not determined by you. It's determined by God. And let's leave it with God. It's got nothing to do with you. It's got everything to do with God. He said, first seek the kingdom of God and His, speaking of God's righteousness. And then money will be added unto you. So, this is a key. The fourth key. You must know the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God and the righteousness that God has to prosper, then you will prosper. Remember, I always said this. This book is not there to tell you what you must do for God. This book is there to tell you who God is and what God has got access to so that you can know who you are and what you've got access to. That's what this book is all about. Never read this book as an instruction manual. Read this book as a book that explains the character, the mindset, the thought patterns, and just God's idea behind you. Read it in that perspective, not to see what, but to see who. Hallelujah. I hope you can understand that, man. That is actually very simple. Seek first the kingdom of God. What is the first? What is the kingdom of God? God's rulership is the place where He rules. Now, if you take money and you seek the kingdom of God concerning money, you must look at how God rules over finances. What gives God rulership over money? What makes God rich? What made God rich? And why is God rich? How does He rule over finances? The way God rules over poverty is by Jesus that became poor so that prosperity could come to man. And then the kingdom of, all authority was given to Jesus. Authority over poverty. Why? Because He became poor and then He was resurrected into all prosperity, and that's how He rules. So God's kingdom, the kingdom principle of financial prosperity is the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I want to connect Romans chapter 5 with this as well. You must know that the Gentiles seek is what God says belongs to you. You need it. And He'll give it to you on the basis He gives to the birds. Neither do they sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. He will give it to you on the basis of the lilies of the field. They neither toil or spin. But God clothes them. How much more us? That is the basis. That's the foundation. Now, it says here, if we can know the right that He has, if we can know His rulership, it doesn't say seek righteousness. It says seek His righteousness. Seek His righteousness. In other words, make a study to see His right to have prosperity. And when you see His right to have prosperity, you can say, but I am in Christ. And the right that God has on the basis why God has got that right is the right I have on the very same basis. And when you've got faith like that, you've got access into the grace of God and prosperity is yours. Hallelujah. Amen. Man, that is so powerful. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Hallelujah. You know, what's so nice about these sessions is we can really start to build a relationship over television, even if I never see you. You can see me and you can start to see how I reason out of the Scriptures, and you will see how I use Romans chapter 5 to preach on the fulfillment of the law, how I use Romans chapter 5 to preach on righteousness. Now I use Romans chapter 5 to preach on finances. Because, you know, there's only one short message in the Bible. That's it. There's no greater revelation than that. There's just one revelation, and that is Jesus. If you get any other revelation than Jesus, it's not a revelation from God. That's your revelation. You can even sell it for money because it's yours. It's not from God. There's just one revelation. It must all boil down to the obedience of Jesus on behalf of man. His death, His resurrection, and His ascension seated at the right hand of the Father, and you being seated with Him. Romans 5:19. Hallelujah. It says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Again, verse 19. "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Now, we are made righteous with the righteousness of God. So why is God righteous? Because He obeyed every prerequisite there was for blessing. Hallelujah. So, why will you prosper financially when you seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Because you will know that Jesus obeyed every principle that's supposed to be in place in order for you to prosper on your behalf. Hallelujah. So that when you believe in Him, that prosperity becomes yours through faith. Hallelujah. Now you might say, "Bertie, but faith without works is dead." You know, if you believe God's blessing you, then you will start to give. Man, that's exactly what I believe. I believe if we really know the blessing and the prosperity that comes through the cross of Jesus Christ for the first time in our lives, we will not be servants of mammon, and mammon will not dictate to us, because what mammon tells people all the time is, "Don't give. You don't have enough of me. And there will never be enough of me, and I will rule you." And the moment we can take mammon and nail it to the cross, and everything that we have to do to prosper, nail it to the cross and to the obedience of Jesus Christ when He walked this earth that day, mammon's got no more voice in your life, because you will say, "As surely as what I am a child of God, I will prosper tomorrow." And that removes all fear from me, and therefore I can give. If you cannot give fearlessly, it is because of a lack of understanding of grace when it comes to money. You know, when it comes to giving, your giving is not supposed to be peace money. You know, I've listened to some people that told me about the way the mafia works in Italy is that you've got a shop, and then they will say, "Listen, we will protect your shop to make sure that nothing bad happens to your shop. And you must just pay us." And if you pay them, you pay that money, it's actually peace money to make sure nothing bad's going to happen to you. And that's why you give it. And if you don't give it, you know, they might even organize something or to happen to your shop. But God's money, the money you give, is not peace money. It is out of generosity. It's money because of peace. It's not money to gain peace. Your giving should not be the source of your peace for your future. The Bible says Jesus Christ is called the Prince of Peace. So connect your money to the cross and you will see true prosperity. Hallelujah. Now, let's just read this one scripture again, and we're going to conclude with this. It says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, Romans chapter 8, verses 9 says it so clearly. It says, "He was rich, He became poor, so that you through His poverty might be made rich." Man, isn't that awesome? Even if you go and look at the life of Abraham in Genesis chapter 14, Melchizedek came to him after the slaughter of the kings. He was first blessed. He first prospered. He first received money. He first received so much. Just absolute abundance. Then Melchizedek came to him, gave him a word so that he could have a revelation of what he received. And he received it because of the word of God, the blessing of God. Because God said, in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplication I will multiply you. In blessing, God will bless him. Just because blessing is blessing, God will bless him. And because multiplying is multiplying, he will multiply. That's it. Just because God decided that. Now, you're a victim of the cross. Now, I know that's not a good way of saying it, but that's what it is. You're a victim of the cross. How am I victimized? Man, you are doomed to be blessed. Hallelujah. You cannot run away from your blessing. That's it. Man overtakes you. You are blessed, man. If you want to connect your obedience to your blessing, let me tell you, then all of us are supposed to be cursed, because somewhere, somehow, sometime, we've disobeyed and haven't done it right. So let's rest in Christ and give out of the Spirit of God that indwells us out of true generosity. Hallelujah. Man, I think we should touch on that scripture in 2 Peter. And then we, just as an introduction to what's going to be said in the next session, it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, that's 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in this world through lust. Now, what it says here is that there's corruption in this world through desire. And there's a place where we don't have to desire finances anymore. I don't desire righteousness. I've been made righteous. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? I don't desire peace. The peace of God is in my mind and in my heart. Now you might say, Bert, that's very arrogant. But what can I say? Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Now I've hungered and thirst after righteousness, now I'm full. Amen. I don't thirst anymore. I don't hunger anymore. I don't seek in the sense of God's not there anymore. Hallelujah. All I seek is just who He is. And that's just relationship building. That's all. Amen. So, man, so we can know that God provides for us on the basis of the cross, of your worth for Him. He loves you. He cares for you. And that is what He's got for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I know there are many people that are watching this broadcast, and you are in financial trouble and you need deliverance from that. Now, what I want you to do is the way you got saved. How did you get saved? You said, oh my God, forgive all my sins. I know that you have died for me. I received the forgiveness of my sins, and today I receive salvation. That's the way you received, and that's the way you're going to receive it today. Blessing financially. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus Christ, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you were rich and became poor, so that I, through your poverty, might be made rich. I was poor upon the cross with you. In poverty, we died together. And we were raised together, Jesus, in true prosperity. I prosper as from today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for praying that prayer with me. I believe God is doing a great thing in your life, and you will start to testify of what God is doing for you. Make sure you get a hold of our series on finances. It will just bless you. Write to us, SMS us, email us. We want to hear from you and just see what God's doing in your life. God bless you.